Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Yes, sure, we sure do. For our new subscribers only, I offer 50% off of any of our VR Trader newsletters with the promo code 2022 half off, which you enter in the little promo code slot when you go to the sign-up page. And I also generally, during this time, disclose that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. I'm just a analyst and newsletter publisher.
Mark, how would you describe what's going on in the stock market right now?
Well, I think we're in a toppy phase. Everybody's been looking for the summer rally. And, you know, I've been looking for a top. So, you know, a lot of it is attributed to, earnings, expectations for earnings. There's been a lot of high flyers, today, for example, Amazon, Apple, and Intel came out with their earnings after the close, and I believe all of them were down after the earnings report. And we've seen similar reactions to other, favorite stocks here the last few days. So everybody had their tongues hanging out about earnings season, and this whole earnings cycle is just so frustrating to me because, I don't want to say I'm in a conspiracist theorist or anything, but you might call me that. I just don't believe the earnings reports. I think the analyst expectations, that all these reports come out, well, analysts are looking for this type of earnings number, the estimated number, and then what comes out is either a below or above it, and all this information is inside information, and it's disseminated, and the public doesn't know that, and you don't know if the earnings reports are even accurate. They could be, adjusted or manipulated to a certain extent, depending on what the investment bankers are telling the company in terms of supporting their stock. I mean, there's so much shenanigans on Wall Street. So every time, an earnings season comes up, I just start laughing to myself. Here's the it's a show all over again. And no one wants to say this, obviously in the financial media, they all think it's all perfectly legitimate and kosher, but it's not. And a lot of the stuff is known in advance. And traders take advantage of it, and it's not talked about. And I just watch these earnings reports come out, and people sitting there, the stock's going to go up, or it ends up going down, or maybe, it goes up when they thought it was going to go down. But the whole joke is the analysts on the street. The analysts on the street historically are late. Technically, the stock will go up for a while, and then the analysts will raise their estimates after the stock is already up, or they'll adjust it down after the stock is already down. So the whole, it's just a big, big phony game. And what you have to do is you just have to decide that, your objective is long-term, and you're going to just hold money in the market and ignore this nonsense, or you try to trade it along the way and hope you don't get caught, which happens in some of these big-name stocks. And there's a lot that got, I wouldn't say crushed, but has some pretty decent sell-offs here in recent sessions. So, but the bottom line, to answer your question, is just, my work has been pretty much saying we're going to sell off in the summer and maybe into the fall, and we have a lot of negatives out there, unrelated to the geocosmic or anything like that. You've got political issues, which are quite dramatic. two polls on the Democrat and Republican side, complete opposite viewpoints of where we should be versus raising taxes or lowering taxes or subjecting people to socialist viewpoints and structure versus more, you know, independent libertarian type views. So it's really a really wild game here, and the traders are trying to figure it out. Is Trump going to get in, and his taxes are going to be lowered, or is this character, is the best way to describe the vice presidential candidate, but what does she really know, which is really nothing. And as was the case with Biden, they're pretty much just told what to do by those who are running the political sphere in the Democratic Party. So you have, you know, all that going on, and now we find out that, you know, Israel killed a key Iranian leader, and Iran is threatening an attack, which will happen. And, you know, I've been talking for a year and a half, 2 years. I mean, the big issue is really war. You know, you have Ukraine war underway. You have idiots in the administration here who send weapons to Ukraine, and they're going to end up losing anyway. But rather than try to figure out a diplomatic solution, they'd rather show that NATO is more powerful than Russia, and it's going to end badly if that's what they're trying to do. And then you've got the Mideast now with Hezbollah and Hamas trying to take out Israel. And that can only end in a nuclear exchange of some kind, because Israel's not going to go down quietly. So and we're just waiting and holding our breath now what type of response Iran has. So if the stock market thinks war is good, that's one thing. But if it turns out to be a big surprise in terms of the disaster or, you know, unsuccessful military attempts, then the stock market could crash. So we're in that time frame. It could happen between now and the fall, and that's sort of historical anyway. On a very short term basis, you know, you've got the autumn equinox solstice coming up September 22nd, and that's an important time frame in the markets, where many times we see low points in the market. August 4th coming up is the new moon, and you know, we've seen the market already top, so the moon's already having its effect. We have what's known as a Mercury retrograde going on, and that starts August 5th, and that just, it's just an illusion in the sky, but there is some correlation between that and financial markets, as there is between the planetary cycles and the lunar cycles, so we watch all that. And then just on a pure economic basis, the ISM manufacturing index, manufacturing report came out today, and it declined, and it's been declining for about 8 months, and I keep ranting and raving about how I have total disbelief of government reports. Just, they're all manipulated or politically motivated or just miscalculated, and then, you know, excluding things like food and energy and all kinds of nonsense which shouldn't be excluded. But the bottom line, the ISN index came out today, and that's a industry-generated index. It's not government, so I have a higher regard for that, and always have higher regard for industry-generated indexes. So it's been declining, and now in the eighth month, and that points to recession. And everybody's also jumping up and down about the Fed. Jay Powell talked yesterday and sort of hinted that there might be a rate cut in September. Everybody's been holding their breath all year for rate cuts. It really made no difference because the market was up anyway. And history says that on many occasions when the Fed lowers rates, the stock market actually goes down, because the reason for it to go lower rates is to prevent a recession or try to deter, you know, a worse economic situation. So, you know, you got to be careful what you wish for, because, you know, lower rates may not be the excuse for higher prices that everybody's been looking for, the relief, you know, reason market's going to go up when it went up anyway. So just a lot of shenanigans out there. So I think bottom line expectation for the year was as a presidential cycle and the market would go up, and it's already gone up, and, you know, maybe it's over. You know, maybe we're going to go into confirmed recession now, and the markets go down, and a lot depends on what happens in the U.S. election. There's risk of civil unrest in the country. Neither party is going to accept whoever wins. It's going to be a mess. So good time to go hide up in the mountains, I think.
What does that do to your portfolio, or are you still connected online?
Well, you know, though I have my concerns about government debt, that at some point there could be a big problem with it. I think, you know, holding treasuries and being something more defensive makes a lot of sense. And, you know, they throw the baby out with the bathwater too, Jim. You know, gold was down today. Bitcoin was down today, even though Donald Trump's talking about, you know, that's going to become a major part of U.S. assets and so forth. But, you know, everything tends to go down when there's a liquidation phase. So we'll see how severe this is and whether the plunge protection team or the equity stabilization fund guys and the government get involved, and which I'm sure they've been involved all along anyway, probably pushing stocks up as they did in Japan for the longest period of time. But, you know, what reactions they're going to have or what strategy they have, no one can really, you know, see, because it's all secret stuff. They don't talk about it, or no one wants to investigate what they're really doing. So, yeah, I'm a bear, you know, and I just think you got to be careful. And, you know, maybe it was enough of a washout or something. Hopefully it's not war, you know, which is, the war is coming anyway, I think, or it's already underway, but something more severe. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But, you know, I'm not that excited about the markets. Maybe after a washout, I would feel better. Now, there's always individual stocks, you know, that we trade, you know, that go up and go down. There's always something happening. There's a bull market somewhere. So, you know, we always find something to trade. So I'm not worrying about that. But at the moment, there aren't too many stocks that I really like to the long side. We have a few in the portfolio. Oil is weak here, which surprises me a little bit, but will obviously ignite higher if something happens in the Mideast. So let's take it a day at a time. So we're short, and we'll see what happens.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, it's the shine off AI.
Oh, gee, that's a tough one. You know, probably not, because Street is so excited about it. And, you know, on a trading basis, yes, I guess is the best answer, because a lot of stocks have already discounted a lot of it, including NVIDIA, which is the big name in the group. And that's been pulling back here. Now, frankly, it has lower targets in my work. So, it's trading over 100. I think you can go into the 90s, you know, got up to 140, which is really 1400 before the split. So I guess what I'm saying, it 1400 back to 900 is probably what's underway now. And then we'll take it a day at a time. But just about every other story and every interview you watch on television or hear about, companies talk about how they're trying to implement AI and how that's going to change the world and change their you know, their bottom line. So, I don't know. It still seems like, you know, there's some momentum there and a lot of people all excited about it. So it may not just be a flash in the pan, you know, 6 month or 1 year move here, you know, even when before we had the crash in the internet.com stocks, as you recall, from way back in 2000, it was a 3-4 year process from the time they started until we actually blew off. So, you know, I'm guessing there's probably more coming, because there's money to be made, and Wall Street likes pushing ideas like this. And if they don't, if it doesn't work out, but come up with another one. So it's just another angle. And it's funny, on my website, you know, people think I'm off the wall here, crazy, but, you know, I say no woke and, no AI involved in my website. So, you know, I don't go for it. I think it's a great research tool if you want to dig through stuff and read about a lot of, you know, get a lot of copy and information on stuff. But in terms of analysis, like I do, and trying to determine what the markets are really doing and what the technical and cyclical numbers are really suggesting, AAA is not going to help you because AI doesn't understand that stuff or accept it. You know, if I told AI there's going to be a top because there's a new moon, do you think AI is going to pick on that? No, they probably say it's irrelevant or it's not proven or it's not documented or, you know, they don't have the historical data. Well, I know for decades it does. So, you know, there's so many things that I look at that AI would never accept or pick up that I can't really accept AI as a valid tool for me.
Mike Swanson, in an interview I just did with him, said AI is really just a search engine that goes out and plagiarizes material from other websites and then strings it together in a sentence trying to convince you that it's something new and unique, when he said really it's just stolen material.
I wouldn't discount that. I mean, I did an AI search on a couple subjects, and there was a bunch of copy that came up on my screen, and it was a lot of research material, and it probably was gleaned from, you know, other websites and search engines and stuff, and it was nice to see all that stuff compiled. I guess if I was in high school and I'm trying to put together a research paper about something I don't know about, you know, and I hit a button on my machine and was able to get a 10-page report gleaned from a lot of different sources, that would be nice and save me a lot of time. So I agree with you. I think that's really what it's all about. You know, I'm not a programmer, and I'm not saying that there isn't some aspect I don't understand, but in terms of, you know, my work, you know, unless I'm asked to generate a report on a subject I know nothing about, and I go to an AI engine and hit the button and generate a lot of copy, I guess it would be of use to me. So, you know, if I was asked to give a speech on a subject that I really wasn't that familiar with, I guess doing, as you say, going to a lot of other sites and research sources and compiling a document would be of great help to me and save me a lot of time. So in that sense, I guess it's okay. The question is, how is it helping you and your particular company and your own particular research? And in my case, it has no value.
A Vancouver lawyer was censured because she used AI to come up with some legal precedents, and it made them up. They weren't really based on facts at all.
The AI engine generated incorrect facts?
Yes.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it just...
Wow. Well, listen, you know, we live in a deceiving world. You have giant search engines like Google, and you've got big platforms like Meta, the former Facebook, and they censor information. Reports come out are not really reported on those big platforms. So those who are decide they don't want to do their own research and read multiple sources are forced to accept a truth that's not necessarily there, and or untruths that are not you know, reversed or confirmed or denied, and they just go with what the big search engines put out there. So I'm a big skeptic of all the big, you know, I try not to use Google. There's other platforms you can use. There's even some little one called, you know, DuckAgogo you can use. There's all kinds of other places you can search for information. So I don't trust the big ones, and I know they're politically motivated, and they're controlled, they have government influence. So it's very tough, you know. That's why, you know, like the analysis I do, you know, we're just ranting and raving here a bit, but, you know, just look at the market. All I need to do is look at the cycles, look at the stocks, look at my volume reversal indicator, and I get trades and I get some sense of direction. I'm not going to be right every day, but, you know, we're right enough that, you know, after 45 years, I'm still here. So, you know, I think you got to do your own work, and, you know, hopefully you have your own discipline that doesn't rely on these big information sources, which unfortunately are distorted.
Are you a long-term bull on gold?
Yes. The world has turned against the dollar. There's the BRICS nations out there that are against, you know, for obvious, clear reasons, because of the insane spending and mismanagement of our government and our economy and the manipulation that's unfortunately out there. And they're tired of it, and they want their own currency, and they want to back it by something that's solid instead of a currency like the U.S. dollar, which is doomed unless, you know, the debt is reduced significantly, and it doesn't appear to be in the future. So the BRIC nations want to back it with gold. And when you think about it, gold has been poo-pooed for decades, but all the central bankers want to own it. and all these big governments are storing it in secret places, and China keeps accumulating it, and Russia keeps accumulating it, and you know, and if you, for thousands of years, it was a source of stability and value, no matter, you know, what currency, what country, what time you're in. So the answer is obviously yes. The problem with gold is it has volatility, but, you know, I guess it'll always be there. So, I mean, I was buying gold at $300 an ounce, you know, years ago, you know, and you have a couple coins in the vault, and now it's $2,400. So, you know, you're talking a 30, 40-year time frame, you know what I mean? I was buying in the 1980s, you know, so here we are at 2024. But look, at, you know, we've had a lot of ups and downs during that that period. But I guess if everything's going to blow up and the BRIC nations are going to take over the world, you know, economy away from the or the currency away from the dollar, and it's backed by gold, then I guess you want to have a nice position in gold as a hedge. You know, I personally thought it looked a little toppy here to me. I mentioned this in a previous interview that, you know, it could sell off $300-$400 an ounce before it goes up to $2,700 or $3,000. It's had that history in the last, you know, 3-4 years. If you watch it, you know, it runs up to 2,000, back to 1,600, you know, and goes up again, back to 2,000, back to 1,700. You know, has these big $200-$300 swings. So it topped out around this 2,500 area. Why can't it go back to 2,000 and then go to 3,000? But on a big picture basis, I think, you know, the weight of the evidence is higher. The only thing I can think about that could really mess it up is some unbelievable discovery or source of gold that we don't know about. Like the, you know, people have laughed at me about it, but it's true. The mining of the asteroids is definitely a plan for the minerals and resources on the asteroids. And if assuming it's not already occurring, I mean, we're just not told what's going on in the secret space program, and that could already be happening. But assuming it hasn't occurred, at some point it will. And if we start mining these minerals on asteroids in the decades ahead, you know, a lot of this material is going to come to the Earth and could depress the price of all kinds of metals and resources. So it's interesting times. But for the time being, I would assume, you know, with the BRICS nations and with world instability, what it is politically, you know, buying gold on weakness doesn't hurt. And, you know, in the next 2 to 5 years, you know, 3,500, 4,000 is probably not an unreasonable objective.
Mark, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Nothing much in the geocosmic. I hinted at it before. There was a solar flare expected to hit the Earth today, and it apparently didn't. So if you just watch some of the reports coming from spaceweather.com, that's been out there. But there were some auroras seen over Minnesota here, apparently, in the last day or two. So there's been some solar, you know, effect on the planet, but nothing major. So keep watching that stuff. And I'm sure the day it hits, it'll surprise everyone, knock all the technology out, and we'll be sitting here like in the Stone Age and wondering why we didn't pay more attention to or try to prepare for something like that. But it will happen at some point. I know it affected the Starlink satellites recently on a recent solar flare surge. So, you know, it just nothing we can do about it. You know, we can talk about it, and unless we, you know, protect all our equipment with Faraday cages and all that kind of stuff that they say could help protect you, but it's not going to protect the stuff that's, you know, orbiting the planet or a lot of the big infrastructure that's already in place. So let's hope we don't get another Carrington event, that's for sure.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Love it. Thank you for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. You can find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.